Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to introduce the four delightful and talented performers who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Wendy Richard, Clement Freud, Paul Merton, and playing the game only for the second time, Tony Slattery. Would you please welcome all four of them? For this edition of Just a Minute, once again, we have returned to the ancient city of Bury St. Edmunds. And it's a great pleasure to be here doing this recording, and I ask our four players of the game to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Anne Ling sits beside me to keep the score. She blows a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And Wendy Richard, we'd like you to take the first subject, which is anyone in this show, starting now.
Out of anyone in this show, I think I like Anne Ling best. She's so nice and helpful, good at her job, charming, kind and understanding. I'm also quite fond of Clement Freud. Before, when I first started in this programme, I used to have to sit next to Derek Nimmo, but now I sit next to himself.
Tony Slattery, challenge.
Repetition of sit next?
Yes,
you sat next to too many people, I'm afraid. So, Tony, you have a correct challenge. There are 38 seconds left, and the subject is anyone in this show, and you begin now.
One of the weirdest things about all the other contestants in this show is that they all have pseudonyms. Wendy is, in fact, Maria von Stuppberger, who is an exotic dancer, and the things she does with ping-pong balls are quite extraordinary. She can balance them on the end of her nose, blow them up in the air, and then fire such a look of venom and poison at them that they will explode. This is a very popular act in certain Berlin nightclubs. Clement Freud likes to be known as Mr. Windy Pops.
Wendy has challenged you, and not before time, I think. Wendy, what is your challenge?
Hesitation.
I was surfing the laugh. If someone can ride a laugh, I think I can surf it.
All right, then, yeah. You can go on. Let's see what you're going to say about Clement, but don't upset him, because he can get very nasty.
He's only got 3 seconds to do all the rest of the team. I don't know how he's going to achieve that. 3 seconds left, starting now.
An MP, Clement Freud, is...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of Clement Freud.
Yes, you did say Clement Freud the last time. Clement, you have half a second to tell us something about anyone in this show, starting now.
Yes.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point, and of course it was Clement Freud who is in the lead.
Could I just ask, Nicholas, what my pseudonym is?
Well, I want to know what mine is as well. I'm rather keen.
Yours has too many syllables, Nicholas.
Maybe the next subject will give him a chance to tell us what it is, knowing how his mind goes.
Your mind went years ago.
Tony, we'd like you to take the second round. The subject is doggerel. There's 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Time.
Hesitation.
Yes, absolutely right.
It's not really hesitation. It's just I looked at you, Nicholas, and I temporarily lost the will to live. So I'm sorry.
Does he affect you like that as well? I thought it was just me. I did. There's three people in the front row putting nooses around their neck.
Wendy, you have a correct challenge of hesitation. 59 seconds on doggerel, starting now.
I've got a lovely little doggerel. She's a Cairn Terrier and she's called Shirley Brahms. Just last week she was photographed for a magazine. Hopefully they're going to ask her back to be on the front cover. I'm very proud of her. She's also very fond of little Henry, my pet cockatiel, that I often talk about on this programme. I'm hoping that Shirley will soon have a film career. Nobody's challenging you. You were going to let me go on, weren't you?
Paul Merton has helped you out, Paul, yes.
Repetition of Shirley.
Yes, Shirley. 35 seconds are left for doggerel with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, I don't really know what doggerel is.
Uh, Clement Royd, you were the first to challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, right. 32 seconds for you to tell us something about doggerel, starting now.
Doggerel is loosely styled verse.
A bit of a hesitancy. Loosely styled verse.
No.
I don't think so.
No. Oh, they're all ganging up on me now. Honestly, I had half a second at the beginning of the show and everyone's down on me like a ton of bricks.
28 seconds.
Mr. Windy Pops never hesitates. Never.
He sometimes has to say pardon, but...
Yes.
You have a point, of course, for an incorrect challenge, and you have 28 seconds on doggerel, starting now.
There was a young man from Japan whose poetry never would scan. When asked reasons why, he replied with a sigh, "Well, you see, it's like this. I was trying to get as many words into the last line as I possibly can." That is an example of doggerel, because it is totally unstructured. Unlike, if you want any flotsam, I've got some. If you want any gypsum, I can get some.
Paul, you challenge. Why?
Repetition of want, I'm afraid.
Paul, you've got a point and the subject and 6 seconds on doggerel starting now.
Since I last spoke on the subject of doggerel, I have been immensely educated as to what it actually is.
Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's in the second place behind Clement Royd, and then Wendy, and then Tony, and Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. The subject, black holes. Will you tell us something about those, starting now? Sorry, no, that wasn't quite right, was it? I hesitated myself. Nobody can get any points for that.
You can get treatment for it.
Thank you. Paul, the subject is black holes. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
I remember as a child wandering around Bognor Regis when suddenly my attention was drawn by a black hole there in the ground. I stared into this black hole and I could see nothing because, of course, it was black. Then suddenly I heard the sound of a cockatiel. Woo! Woo! It went. And I thought...
Tony Snatcher challenge.
Repetition of woo.
Yes. Black holes, and 42 seconds, starting now.
The brilliant astrophysicist Stephen Hawking postulates the possibility of a black hole in which time can not only run backwards, but can stand still, rather like it does during the recording of this program. Black holes are an immensely complex astrophysical phenomenon. Inside of them, time can not only...
Clement Roy,
repetition of time.
Yes, you were gone on your intellectual bent and...
I must get that sentence.
21 seconds for you, Clement, on black holes, starting now.
I spent some weeks in Calcutta looking for the original black hole, and it is extraordinarily difficult. I caught a taxi and said, "Kindly take me to the black hole," and the driver had no idea where to go. So we went to Bombay and tried another time. New Delhi was...
New Delhi was...
I think there was a hesitation, Tony. You cleverly got in with half a second to go. Black holes starting now.
Black holes.
So Tony Snatcher was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and Clement Freud still in the lead. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is roads. Take it any way you like and talk on the subject if you can, starting now.
I'd like to take it anyway, like Cecil. It is extraordinary.
Not so much a hesitation, more of a black hole.
I just always try to wonder who Cecil is. I mean,
and why he wants to take it anyway.
I know. Right, the subject is roads, and you have 55 seconds, Paul, starting now.
Where I used to live when I was a small boy, as well as there being lots of black holes in the area, there were plenty of roads. My favourite road was the road that led all the way to the sweet shop, where Mr. Grinny Winnie would serve me half a pound of sherbet lemons, a close relation of Mr. Windy Pops, would give me blackjacks...
Clement Fry challenge.
Repetition of Mr.
Yeah. 36 seconds with you, Clement. You've got the subject back. You've got another point. You have roads starting now.
There was quite an endearing Victorian music hall song about the coachman taking the Lord Mayor from Paddington to Piccadilly without encountering a single road. He did this by going down Pall Mall streets, mews, gutters, and other thoroughfares, which rhymed and therefore gave a certain rhythm to the chanteuse who performed these.
Paul Merton Jarrett.
I'm sorry, as I've said on previous programmes, I did metal work. Now, we are deviating from the English language here. What is this? What is this?
Well, Chanteuse is a singer, but it's got absolutely nothing to do with this chap. Paul, I agree with you. Your challenge is correct. You have a point. 10 seconds. Roads starting now.
There were 5 roads when I was a young boy.
Clement Freud challenge.
He's already been
a young boy, yes. Down those roads too often. Clement, you have the subject back. Another point. 6 seconds. Roads starting now.
When I was a young boy, there was only one Rhodes, and he discovered Rhodesia, which later became Zimbabwe.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went and gained the extra point, and he has increased his lead at the end of the round. Wendy Richard, will you take the next round? The subject is forgeries. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
One has to be very careful of forgeries, especially when it comes to banknotes. Have you seen the one at the value of £10? The latest piece of monetary paper.
Paul, your challenge.
I knew it would be you.
I'm sorry, it was severe hesitation, unfortunately.
What's a severe hesitation?
Well, that was quite nasty, wasn't it? There was an element of violence in
there. Oh, I see. 49 seconds for forgeries with you, Paul, starting now.
Tom Keating made a name for himself in the late 70s for being a master forger. Apparently he painted several pictures that were attributed to, I believe, Samuel Butler, and later it was the man I mentioned earlier who said, well, in fact, it was me that painted them. These forgeries were on sale in various art gallery shops and were, in fact, on display in various museums.
And Tony Statler challenge.
Various, I suppose.
Yes, there's a repetition of various, I'm afraid. Yes. Tony, you've got in a point for a correct challenge. 26 seconds left. Forgeries starting now.
Forgeries. The whole idea of authenticity is one that dogged for the whole of his life the brilliant French existentialist Ange Dreed. He obviously didn't like to pronounce his name like that, but he had a speech impediment, and that's why he could never pronounce the thing.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of pronounce.
I think he only said
one pronounce. Just dying a death. Get on.
He certainly hesitated, but no, I don't think you repeated anything, yes, and okay. You could have had him for deviation, because, I mean, that man didn't actually exist.
Andre did exist.
Oh, well, that one, I didn't realise you were
talking about. Not the person who makes your ties.
No. Anyway, 7 seconds are left with you, Paul, on forgeries, starting now.
Oh, wait a minute, I thought you said,
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation, it's Tony.
Paul, you put me right. You challenged Tony, didn't you?
I did, but you said that it was in the correct challenge.
Absolutely right. I'm glad you were listening.
And from that, I kind of rashly assumed that I hadn't got the subject.
Yes. Well, you did metalwork, but I did carpentry.
Is English your first language?
Tony Statterly, yes. It was incorrect challenge from Paul Merton. So you keep the subject. And you have 14 seconds on forgeries, starting now. And Paul Merton. Paul Merton, yes.
That was hesitation.
That was definitely
yes, you're absolutely right.
And you have forgeries, and there are 6 seconds, starting now.
I used to make a living when I was about 16 years old by selling fish cakes to people that were not genuine.
Yes.
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, got that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. Then comes Tony Slattery and then Wendy Richard. And Tony, your turn to begin. Will you tell us something about William Bligh of the Bounty and try and do it in 60 seconds, starting now?
The Bounty is a long and frankly awful chocolate bar with lots of sugar in it. It's owned, and there's only one of them, by a man called William Bly. He's a greengrocer from Stepford. A lot of people mistake him for the famous, and some would say rather aggressive, sea captain who came to fame by whipping lots of other sailors. But that's obviously another story. Bounties come in all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the confectionery now. Some
camouflage challenge.
It's the second confectionery.
You had a bit of confectionery before,
sorry,
yes, yes. 32 seconds for you to tell us something about William Bly of the Bounty, Clement, starting now.
I think, like Prince Edward, William Bly of the Bounty was a deeply misunderstood serviceman. He was captain of a ship that went to the West Indies in order to introduce breadfruit as a simple means of...
I'm sorry, I buzzed now. I wanted to find out what it was a simple means of.
It was a simple means of contraception.
Tony, you have a correct challenge for hesitation. 14 seconds. William Bly of the Bounty is starting now.
When you think about it, breadfruit was a rather dull thing to introduce to these natives. They could have had the internal combustion engine. They could have had...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of the phrase they could have had.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I'd have given him for TV-ation too, because they could have had the internal combustion engine when William Bly of the Bounty was around.
You're absolutely right.
Right. 5 seconds of you, Paul. William Bly of the Mountie. William Bly of the Bounty.
William Bly the Mountie?
Yes, he's the Canadian one. I'm sorry.
What a perverse universe you inhabit.
I know, I know.
He's on tablets, you know.
It's... William Bly of the Bounty, 5 seconds, Paul, starting now.
William Bly of the Bounty was a man who, of course, has been misjudged by history.
Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point, and others in the round, and he has increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, Calais. Will you tell us something about Calais in just a minute, starting now?
I don't really know a great deal about Calais. I did once spend a week there, having travelled from this great, wonderful country of ours across the Channel, and found myself in this French port. I wandered around for a while, and a lot of people there seemed to be speaking in a language I didn't really understand, because at school I did metal work. So I looked into the shops, and the passers-by were their curious Gallic charm, and after a while I began to fall into the atmosphere of the place. This is all a complete load of codswallopers. I've never been to Calais in my life. Nevertheless, that doesn't stop me dreaming of those faraway lands that I have never visited, and maybe now I never will.
Tony Slattery, your challenge.
I think there was a bit of a stammer and a hesitation.
Yes, I think so, too. Tony Slattery, will you tell us something about Calais, and you have 23 seconds starting now.
Very few people know that Calais is the world centre for the organisation of Nicholas Parson lookalike competitions. In and around the port area, lots of people run around the place.
Jeff, camouflage chance.
Repetition of people. Very few people know.
Yes, you're right, Clement, yes. 10 seconds, I want to hear more about the Nicholas Parsons lookalike competition. I thought I might enter it. Clement, you have 10 seconds to tell something about Calais, starting now.
Not to go to Calais, which Paul Merton has done, is what the French call Pas de Calais, which is their version of the Straits of Dover. I've been...
Tony, it is your turn to begin. The subject is guilt, starting now.
All the great moralists of history, as Aldous Huxley says in the preface to Brave New World, are convinced of one thing, that guilt is a bad element in personalities generally. A lot is spoken about Catholic guilt and the way people are brought up in Catholic convents.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two Catholics.
There were two Catholics.
Were there?
Yes.
What are they doing,
kid? These two Catholics walk into a pub.
Yes, absolutely.
Catholic guilt. Clement, you have 41 seconds to tell us something about guilt, starting now.
If I had a guilt, I can think of nothing more delicious to make with it than sausages. I think I would take...
Wendy Richard Chance.
Two thoughts there.
If I had a thought, then he was thinking the second time. That's all right.
You get on with your sausages.
33 seconds starting now.
The very best thing to do with this young female pig is to detach a leg, skin it.
Deviation, that surely can't be the best thing you can do with it. Perhaps you could feed it and let it run out of the garden. Start ripping its leg off.
All right, Paul, a good challenge. It's one thing you can do, but not the best thing you can do. 26 seconds for you on guilt, Paul, starting now.
I was brought up as a Catholic, and I well remember going in to see the parish priest during confessionals, and you would have to confess your sins.
Clement Freud.
I think you see a parish priest during confessionals. It's deviation.
Oh, you thought terribly quickly about that.
No, you sometimes, they pull the curtain back and give you a little wink.
Oh, no.
And I'm sure at the age he was talking about, he said to his mother, I'm going to go along to them confessionals. And I accept that that was the way he was speaking at the time.
That's a bit patronising, isn't it, Nicholas?
Well, no, well, you confess to the parish priest. So 18 seconds, Paul, on guilt starting now.
I remember once saying to him, I got this young female pig. And instead of letting her run in the garden, I pulled her leg off and I said, now run around the garden. And I said it twice, but never mind.
Wendy.
You had two runs round the garden.
Yeah, run around the garden too much, yes.
Well, there was a limp round the second time.
Eight seconds for you, Wendy, on guilt starting now.
I've got some lovely gilt picture frames at home, and in them I have likenesses of Shirley Brahms and Little Henry, my pet cockatiel.
So Wendy Richard was speaking as a whistle, Wendy gained an extra point. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is flannel. And there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
When I have a bath, one of the things that I always reach for is the face flannel. I love to have a good old rub around with this particular thing. I get underneath the sink and I scrape all around there and then I sort of, oh, I don't know. Oh, no, if it's buzz, I'll carry on talking.
Cameron, your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, the image you give us of you in the bathroom, I must...
I suddenly had a very rude image in my mind, which I couldn't say. So that's what confused me.
Clement, you have 44 seconds on flannel starting now.
Oh. There was a pause there. You could have built car parking.
Tony, you challenged first.
I did. I think there was the merest hint of a soup song. The hesitation.
Tony, you have 43 seconds to tell us something about flannel starting now.
This story isn't going to be dirty, so don't turn the radio off.
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. Tony, when did you ever not tell a story that wasn't dirty?
Well, I was just about to.
He was flannelling. He's right.
Did a momentary spasm of pleasure cross your face then? I don't know what you're doing out there, but you're on your own.
Excuse me, it's the one paid member of the audience I got from my jokes. Tony, you have 40 seconds to continue on flannel starting now.
One of my strongest erotic boyhood memories was of a pair of short flannel trousers with which Sister Euthanasia at my convent used to whip me. It was a progressive convent. Ah!
Wendy challenged.
I don't think this is the sort of thing we want to hear on this program.
It's all
deviating.
Apart from that, I think you said convent more than once anyway. Yes.
Wendy, you have 25 seconds to tell us something about flannel starting now.
When I was little, we were sometimes given a flannel to grow mustard and cress on. This experiment that I never succeeded in at all. So I kept my flannel for washing myself. I sometimes use a flannel for little Shirley's face when she gets gravy round there. There's a very useful piece of equipment to have in the bathroom. Flannels come in various colours, in red and blue and...
So Wendy Richard got an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and she has moved forward. Only 1 point behind Tony Slattery. Then Paul Merton is two ahead, and then it is Clement Freud just a little way in the lead, and we're into the last round. The subject is Francis Bacon. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. Will you tell us something about that gentleman, starting now?
Francis Bacon is the sort of generalisation which I deplore. Like Germany is sausage or Sweden is heroin. There was a man of that name who was a friend of my brother's and Many years ago, Francis Bacon came to my house for Sunday lunch. I think it was Christmas. And he spilt whiskey, which remained on the carpet for many years. There is a painter of that name who recently died, and if this is going out on repeat, he died quite a long time ago.
Poor Merton Chalice.
Repetition of died.
Yes, he died, and he died quite a long time ago. So, Paul, you got in there with a good challenge. 24 seconds for Francis Bacon, starting now.
Francis Bacon came round my house once, and I took his leg off, and I said, run around the garden. And he hopped about, and he was in desperate pain. He said, this is no good at all. So he took him back to a surgeon. He said, can we sew this appendage back onto Mr. Bacon? And so they did. They sewed throughout...
Wendy Richard, challenge. Two sewed, yes. Wendy, you've got him with 7 seconds to go. The subject is still Francis Bacon, starting now.
I met Francis Bacon, the painter, a few times. I found him most charming and pleasant and good company. He had paintings hanging in...
Well, Wendy Richard was speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point, and she has leapt forward, but not very far, I'm afraid. But the, Tony Slattery, who did so well on his first visit, didn't do quite so well in his second one because he finished in fourth place, just behind Wendy Richard. Then came Paul Merton, but only 1 point ahead. We are judged to be the winner, Clement Royd! It only remains me now to thank our four talented and entertaining panellists who have done so well, both in speaking on the subject and off the subject, and also to thank Anne Lynn for keeping the score and blowing her whistle so beautifully, and also Ian Messiter for thinking of the game and keeping us in work, and also for Sarah Smith, who tries to control us. She is, of course, our producer. From her, from them, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it.